Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
My name's Kate Delaney. How you doing in all those nooks and crannies? It's been a rough week. I feel like I say that a lot, but it really has been. Floods all over Texas. In one way, it's a miracle because the lakes are filling up after years and years of drought. But you also have people having to be rescued, and you've got also a lot of overflow that's causing really incredible havoc to some homeowners. As I say, the water rushing up to, you know, their porch tops and then getting higher and higher, just depending on where they live. Anywhere off of riverbanks, it's been really interesting to see the amount of rain that has come down in the south, parts of the south and southwest. And boy, California, they're fining everybody and their brother, and their lawns are like dirt. It's just dry bone out in California. That old 70s song, It Never Rains in Southern California, is really true the last 4 years. And what are they going to do when they run out of water? But all eyes have turned toward this Amtrak train that was going from Washington, D.C. to New York and coming out of Philadelphia, coming around a turn that was supposed to be 50 miles an hour and hitting at 106. They're investigating as to what really happened there. 7 people died, 200 people were injured, and it went from a typical, normal commute to mass chaos with first responders who were great because they got there pretty quickly after the fact, but there's only so much you can do in trying to get people out and help them, and they got them to hospitals and Temple University and all this stuff pretty quickly. But sadly, there was like wild projectiles that were on that train that killed, you know, those 7 people. And there are a bunch of people in that 200 injured that are seriously injured. Here was what one of the interviews sounded like coming out of Philadelphia. There's a former congressman who was on that commuter train who survived it, who was fine, and who talked about what it was like.
I represent this Northeast Philadelphia and all Bucks County, so this is my old neighborhood, and I feel very lucky to be here today.
What was it like? Take us through those moments when the train derailed and you were left in a car. I'm assuming it was on its side.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Brightwood Cafe cart, so that it has bench tables with bench seating. Senator Tom Carper, we were leaving from, it was going from Washington up toward New York. I get off just north of Bucks County in Trenton, New Jersey. I come back over the river. We just left Philadelphia. He got off, Senator Tom Carper from Delaware, got off in Wilmington. We were going. I thought everything was fine. I had my earbuds in. I was doing work. And then all of a sudden, we're going through here in Northeast Philadelphia, and you heard, you know, it was like a vibration. I don't know if it was the brakes or whatnot. And then we just banked hard left like we were tilting, and then we tilted back the other way and just flipped over. And I was on the left side of the train, and everyone on the left side of the train basically all went over to the other side, like kind of like head first over.
Yeah, so you hear what the description was like. That was Patrick Murphy, by the way, and how he had the earbuds in and was coming out and wasn't thinking anything. It was just a typical ride until it wasn't typical anymore, and the commute was ruined and everything else. But it's not about the commute. It's really, if anything, it's about the lives that were lost. And so this engineer, Brandon Bostain, they say, from Queens, is the engineer who was in control of that Amtrak train, and he refused to speak with the investigators, and he says they have no explanation. He has no explanation for the crash. Boy, and that is worrisome, isn't it? This 32-year-old who was the engineer, he met with police for 5 hours, and he didn't make a statement or answer questions. His only comment came through his attorney, who said he had no explanation for the crash or no recollection of it. The lawyer said that the engineer was just very distraught after learning about the body count that caused by the fatal crash. He said he had no health issues. He wasn't on medications before the crash. He only remembers getting tossed around in the train and then finding his phone and calling 911. He had a concussion. He had injuries to both legs and a head wound where he had to get 14 staples, but he still, was okay. Now, he voluntarily turned over his phone because they're going to look for texts and all that, and a blood sample. The National Transportation Safety Board said the engineer hit the train's emergency brake seconds before it hit a sharp turn going 106 miles an hour. And like I said, the speed limit for the curve, 50 miles an hour. I mean, there's no way he should have been going that fast into the curve. I mean, that's reckless. That's irresponsible. That's ridiculous. So what was the explanation? There is no explanation for it. I mean, just no explanation. Even after the crash, they changed his profile picture to an all-black photo. Just that's it. Just so sorry, saying prayers for all is all it said on it. Because now people are seeing his picture everywhere. Wow. And he's worked for Amtrak for a while. He's been in this position for a while as an assistant and then an engineer, and that, he was happy on his job, they're saying, because they look into everything, and they can't come up with any reasons. But the reason is clear, that the speed, for sure. And the NTSB will interview him in the future and try to figure out, what happened. Did something happen? Did they go through a traumatic event? What was it that caused that to happen? Boy, oh boy. Other than that, that's it. They don't have anything yet, and that's not a surprise. Except for the speed thing, that's all they know for sure. It's pretty obvious you would be derailed. If it's 50 miles an hour and you're going double that and you're coming around those curves, and all of you that have been on those trains know exactly what I'm talking about, of course that would shake that off and it would cause that, to fall the way it did, to flip over on its side and have a bunch of those cars end up the way they did, because the speed was just way too much. Seven people from that, the projectiles flying around. As I said, this is the snapshot. People are talking about this. They're talking about the speed of the train, what happened. Engineer didn't say anything. Do you think there's something else there? But we know for sure, or at least we believe, and who knows, we'll see what the phone yields. But it wasn't a texting thing, I don't think. I mean, just because he said that and turned it over doesn't mean it's not. You have to see what they come up with and rule that out or not. Either way. All right, hang with us. We got more coming your way next as we climb the wall. Climb over with us. Pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Attention, do you owe money to the IRS or have years of unfiled returns? Are you being audited or receiving threatening letters? If the answer is yes, you need help. The IRS can seize your property and assets, impose fines and penalties, garnish your wages, and even go after your bank account. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. Don't let the IRS destroy your life. Take action now. Call our team of experts for a free and confidential initial evaluation. We've help thousands resolve their tax problems. Let us help you. 800-261-7073. 800-261-7073.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Little British Christian, little British Raga, slip to the photo Raga, and it's for Raga for the decent bloke who enjoys a pint and a beggar on a joke who loves it when he's down the pub, walking down some popular pub. A Raga for a decent bloke, misses and for those cheeky nippers. Raga for an alright bloke who's always cheery, bright and chipper. Raga for a doggy installer, an expert on gas.
Alright, we talk about this all the time on America Tonight. It's fuzzy math. Or it just doesn't make sense when we talk about government spending and how we're spending our way into oblivion. And some of you get that. But why do our leaders keep doing the same thing? It's about getting reelected. At least that's the road that they seem to take. And wouldn't it make a difference if they went in a different direction like we saw with the Prime Minister, David Cameron, and what he recently did in those elections in the UK that surprised a few people? But if you look a little deeper than that, it completely makes sense what's happening there. And Ivan Elin, of course, picked up on this, the senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And he's just written something that came up in one of his pieces for the Huffington Post. And it's what Americans should learn from the British election. And I hope a lot of you read it and take heart to what he's saying, because it really pulls this all into perspective as to what's going on in the United States. Ivan, as always, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So I kind of brushed the surface with broad strokes, but what was it that David Cameron did so well that led to his Conservatives winning an outright majority of seats in Parliament and really rocking the other side, really rocking what happened in these recent elections, not expecting that finish?
Well, no one really expected it, because the polls were, the Labor and Conservatives were even, and in their system, even if Labor got less votes, they could form a coalition with the Scottish National Party, which did very well. But, of course, the Conservatives did much better than anybody thought, and they got an outright majority in the Parliament. They had to have a coalition before. And what really happened here is the British people should be applauded. Cameron came in and he did what I would say a moderate austerity program. And you say, well, it's only moderate. Well, we can't get that in the United States, really, except through sequestration, which we had a little bit of, but those budget cuts have been since attenuated. So he did this for several years, and not only did the British people resoundingly elect him, he's in a better position than he was when he first took office. So that's really astounding that austerity, in Greece and Spain and some of these other countries like Italy, in the southern part of Europe, austerity leads to riots and everything else. But in Britain, austerity led to re-election by a resounding margin. And I think Cameron has pledged to double down on this. And not only has his austerity, done the traditional types of cutting social programs and that sort of thing, but he's also cut defense. And I think that's really what needs to happen. I was probably the only person in Washington, D.C. that was in favor of sequestration, which was across the board cuts. Unfortunately, it didn't include the entitlements, but at least it was cutting something across the board. And I think that's really the only way you can get support in Washington for budget cuts. You just say, well, we have an $18 trillion debt. We have even more, unfunded things in the future worth trillions of dollars. We're in much worse fiscal shape than anybody realizes. In fact, we're near Greek levels and that sort of thing. The difference is we have the world's reserve currency. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if we keep acting responsibly in the future, China may have the reserve currency instead of us. And then, of course, we're in real big trouble. But I think we're in trouble anyway because we have a lot of people who are retiring and we have fewer workers. That's the Social Security and Medicare and, the other big entitlement programs are just out of control. And the politicians, unfortunately, our system, there's just no incentive to pare it back because that's the way politicians get elected. And unfortunately, the American population, I think, allows that. They talk small government rhetorically, but when it gets down to how they vote, I'm afraid Americans are for far too big a government.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everybody talks about small government and states' rights and whatnot, or I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot, and especially we see that here with the listeners. But how are they voting? Are they really paying attention to it? And you point out the examples of other presidents, though, U.S. presidents, who have gone in that other direction. You go back to Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge, and you mentioned Dwight Eisenhower, and, of course, Bill Clinton. And wouldn't it be a bold step for a politician to step out, give that example, and then explain, as you've explained, listen, you're not realizing this, but bubbling up on the surface, here's what we have going on, and if we don't do something now, we're in serious danger of a couple of things happening economically that, trust me, will rock your world.
Yeah, and I think it's not all pain. I mean, what you're doing is you're having short-term austerity for longer-term and sustained economic growth. And I think that's why our growth has been so anemic after the recession was because Bush and Obama both turned on either the spending spigots or the money supply spigots. And that's sort of artificial prosperity. It's sort of when you eat a bunch of cotton candy, it's not really nutritious, it's just a sugar high. And I think that's kind of what we've been on a little bit here. Now, of course, it's slowing down. The recovery seems to be slowing down. It was never very strong. Now, what Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge did, what Dwight Eisenhower did, and what Bill Clinton did was they cut the budget. And that led to, in every case, it led to a decade of prosperity. And I think you can do austerity and have prosperity. And I think Cameron has also proved it, and so have the Germans. The two best economies, I think, two of the best, at least in Europe, are Germany and Britain now because they did undertake those austerity programs. And the British one is probably going to even accelerate now that Cameron has got sort of a mandate from the British people to continue with it. His was moderate before. And, of course, the Germans have always been, after the 1920s and 30s, they've been very cognizant of inflation, so they've always been very frugal in their financial affairs.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned too about the Chinese, and you talk about it as well in your piece, and you say that you look at China and this threat and the fact that we're not really learning from what the Chinese have done since they've embraced capitalism and generally how they've cut back on defense or how they did it was way at the bottom of the list. Of course, what we kept seeing just a few years ago was, wow, they're this massive amount of an army that they're building up, and pretty soon they're going to be a bigger superpower than we are. I remember I kept seeing headlines like that, not too long ago. But you say that what's happened is really they've had this rapid economic growth, and they've been just slowly increasing their defense budget, right?
Yeah, for a long time they really didn't do too much on it. It was a fourth of their four economic priorities, and of course the top three were, you know, economic development. And yet they said the economy first. And I think the basis of power, of military power, cultural power, social power, you know, et cetera, in the world is based on economic power. And the Chinese realized that, of course, and they realized that they had to keep their defense spending in, under control until they got their economy, they grew their economy. Now that their economy is, you know, second only to the U.S. in the world, they are increasing their defense and have been for the last few years. But, you know, the U.S. still spends, much more than the Chinese do, and we have commitments all over the world. I would say we're sort of in the overextended empire, and I think national greatness conservatives ought to realize that perhaps we need to retract our defense perimeter and, you know, rejuvenate our economy and refresh our presence in the world with a healthy economy, because that's, as I say, is the basis of all national power. And I think we're really overextended. We have far too many commitments, and we have a huge defense budget, but it's not even big enough to fulfill all the commitments, because the commitments are way out of control, and the defense budget is also out of control. And I think, you know, we spend what the next 13 countries do combined on defense. So how can China be a threat to us in any way, simply because they're mainly a regional, they want more influence in their region. And so I think we need to put these things in perspective. We allow the defense bureaucracies and defense industries to tell us that these threats are bigger than they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Ivan Eland, check out his stuff. Good stuff. Senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And you can always look up a lot of what Ivan talks about on the Huffington Post. Ivan, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and I drink a rum. Banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Lift
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
That's a great one, Nathan Reeder. Hats off to you from the archives.
All right.
Classic.
Banana.
It is a classic. There is no question about that. This is a classic, too, for America tonight, or at least it's becoming a classic. It's called Fruits and Nuts, Shred It, and Bingo. That's where we're going. Bingo! Speaking of Nathan Reeder, hi, Nathan.
Hi.
All right, so here's our first one. Search crews hunting for, yes, that Malaysian plane we still can't find, Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. in the ocean, waters off of Western Australia. That's where they're still looking. They discovered an old shipwreck, so they can't find the plane, but they did find an old shipwreck. They said it was an unexpected finding. Sonar equipment on board this search boat scouring the Indian Ocean detected all these objects about 2.5 miles below the surface, and it turns out that it was from a ship, and they're right now investigating it to try to figure out what the ship is, but they definitely have a very big ship, not a plane, not a Boeing 777, any of the debris, but a ship. So here's the thing. They've been searching for this flight for a very long time. They think that this was a cargo ship built in the mid to late 19th century. It could be one of hundreds lost during a lot of voyages across the Indian Ocean. So in one way, that's really cool. In another way, really sad. They find this old boat, but no sign, Nathan, of Flight 370. You think they're ever going to find it?
When you say they...
The searchers, people that are searching. You have people in Australia that are searching.
Well, yeah, the people that are searching right now, are they going to find it right now? I don't know.
Yeah, crazy. I'm going to say, though, finding the shipwreck at least was something, so I'm going to call it bingo. What do you say?
Well, I kind of say shred it because, you know, if you scour enough of this whole earth here, we've got some fancy things that people haven't touched before. But that's pretty cool. So that's bingo. I mean, they were searching for things, right?
Absolutely.
And
then
bingo.
Something.
Bingo it is.
All right, bingo. You know what is cool? It's funny you say they were searching for things. I saw a story, it might have been 60 Minutes, where there's a guy, and his name is Captain Bob. He's pretty well known. He's pretty famous. He found the Titanic. And he is doing this thing where he is underneath the United States. Of course, there's all that water, and meaning underneath the mass of land, and underneath there, they think there's just tons of ships and things. And he's mapping it out, trying to find what's out there. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It does sound like an awesome job, doesn't it? When I saw that story, I was like, wow, the things that you could possibly find, I think that's really, really neat. All right, so we go from the missing Malaysian plane and finding something else instead to this story, which I think is personally very depressing. In Australia, they're saying Johnny Depp's dogs, the actor, could be killed. And the reason they could be killed, put to death, is because he and his wife, Amber Heard, are accused of breaking import laws by not declaring their Yorkshire Terriers, Bo and Pistol, to customs when they flew into Queensland. They flew in by private jet last month. And Australia has strict quarantine laws to prevent the accidental import of animal disease and infections. So the Agriculture Minister, Barnaby Joyce, said it applies to everyone. I don't care who it is, if they're famous,
yep,
who they are,
yep,
or whatever.
Yep, yep.
So he has to either take those dogs back to California now, and he said he's serious, or they're going to have them euthanized. They're going to give him a couple of days, and that's it. He's got 50 hours to get the dogs out and put them on the plane that he flew in on, or they're killing them.
That guy's got a big bark.
I think that's terrible.
Yeah,
I understand
terrible.
The law, but it's terrible. I mean, are you kidding? They're gonna, you know, that's ridiculous.
They're not gonna do that. They are gonna threaten to do that, and I'm sure it will be taken care of, and without the euthanization happening. But yeah, that's kind of a PR touchy subject to have to pull out. I mean, it's not winning too many people's favors, I'd imagine.
No, it's not making them look really good. So what do you think it is? Shred it, fruits and nuts, bingo.
I'm going to actually hit fruits and nuts a little bit today. There you go. I'm usually living in the fruits and nuts territory myself, so it's hard for me to call other things that. So this is a concession, okay?
Okay, fruits and nuts. I like it. You know, this is just... This is just crazy, but I'm going to let you comment on it. All right, so there's lots of big colleges, and one of the big colleges that they must have money to burn is LSU. And LSU has a project to create a lazy river. They're creating a lazy river, and you know what they are, where it's, you know, it goes around the pool, and it's, that's what it is. So students at the school are going to be able to soak up the sun in this man-made lazy river. It's part of an $85 million leisure project underway, despite the school's desperate financial situation. So they're having problems. They're gouging kids for more money for their tuition. But this project that has an outdoor adventure center, a rope climbing course, and a 21,000-square-foot sun deck is going to continue to roll on. They hope they have it done in time for the fall of 2016.
Isn't this the locker room where there were, like, there was, like, fountain-y kind of?
Yes.
Wow. What's with the budget, guys?
Yeah, what's with the budget? Higher tuition? I mean, so they've got to pay this higher tuition and all these fees, and then the taxpayers are bearing the burden of some of that. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, people are still going there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's because then they can study leisure
and be
techniques.
In the lazy river.
Cool. I'll visit someday.
So what are you calling this one?
I don't know. A little bit of shred it. Maybe the dregs of the fruits and nut bowl. So it's like a lot of husks and seeds.
I like it. Fruits and nuts for me. Fruits and nuts. That's ridiculous. Charging people more tuition and, you know, fine if you have money just rolling in and it's not affecting any other budget and you want to create this lazy river. And there are a few other colleges that have lazy rivers, but give me a break on that one. Are you going to love this? Because this kind of goes along with students, again, college students. But leaders in this Florida city are saying no more with this drinking and sexual assault and things that are happening because there's so many spring breakers there. So pretty much they're banning drinking during spring break. They're banning it. They voted on Wednesday to ban beach drinking during the month of March because that's when the spring break kids come down. So they're just not going to have it. Panama City is the area. The city council said they all said yes, they approved banning drinking during March. There was a special meeting to address partying by college students. So they're also considering other things to curtail the rowdiness. And here's what happened, Nathan. 7 partiers or partygoers, college students, were shot and injured at a spring break party this year. So they're tired of the negative image, and they've decided, yeah, they're going to enforce this.
Well, it just stops it on the beach?
On the beach.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good luck,
guys.
I mean,
it could still be in the parking lot, I suppose, and you're right. So there's
I was a kid, and I see kids who want to do stuff. They'll figure out where to do it, and, I don't know where the correction point starts, but they're starting at a backward place here.
I think so, too.
Shred it.
Yeah, I say shred it, too. Absolutely. Shred it. Because I think, first of all, enforcing that ban is going to be tough in one way, but there's other places in the hotels, parking lots. So you go to the beach and then you get off the beach and that's probably what they'll do.
Yep.
All right. This is interesting and a lot of other cities have this too. Quickly, I'll say this. The District of Columbia has a 5-cent bag fee. They say it's really working. The bag law is familiar, accepted, was a routine, and a lot of people are bringing their own bags, so it's working. What do you think?
I'm all with the bingo with that. I'm all with that. Come on, guys, if you can bring a cute bag, I mean, you could bedazzle it even.
That's right. And plus, then you don't have all that toxicity garbage. So soda bottles, cigarette butts, everything else that ends up in sewage and rivers. So I say
Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the city you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
A lot about the train, Amtrak infrastructure is a mess. It's part of the problem. We're seeing more of these disasters, and the engineer has no explanation, or he's not talking. He's not saying. He doesn't remember anything that happened. He handed over everything, and that's it. So we'll see what the National Transportation and Safety Board comes up with. But he hit it fast. And they have a special braking system. If they had had that on that Amtrak train, that could have helped. And we might not have seen those cars, you know, roll over the way that they did, sadly. But anything else, engineering wise. I mean, it's 100 some miles an hour, so it's pretty obvious. But can they figure out what it was? Did he zone out? Did he just push it through fast? You know, what was it? And of all things, you know, the dreaded word in America last year was what? Ebola. Ebola, everybody. That was, you know, the story of the year. So here we had another scare in Dallas, but then that turned out, oh, no, that's not Ebola. There's a patient that's been admitted to the UConn Health Center's hospital with a fever, monitored for the Ebola virus, testing positive for malaria. Yikes. Doesn't mean Ebola yet. They're saying that the man does not have Ebola. They don't think so. Don't think so. But they couldn't rule out the possibility of Ebola infection because he helped with Ebola relief in Liberia from November of 2014 until April of 2015. So that's a long time. And they're experiencing that guy. It's a guy is experienced, I think, because they're saying that somebody slipped and said guy. So he's got the fever, the muscle aches, the symptoms. Yikes. Yeah, we don't like hearing that. Because then who do they come in contact with? It's that 6 degrees plus of separation. And we saw what happened, you know, before with that. All right, let's go to Dr. Cam in Canada. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm good. What's in your mind?
So listen, what's on my mind is this. Not only what is happening in America, but what is happening in America and how it affects the rest of the world. I remember being in university in the early 1980s when we all screamed about NAFTA. And NAFTA being a bad, bad idea.
Right.
And now we're seeing the erasing of our borders, where Canada is no longer Canada, but the greater United States, along with Mexico. Our dollar is not our dollar anymore. We're soon going to see something akin to the euro dollar for the Americas. Scares the living daylights out of me.
Do you think that's going to happen? You think that we're going to see the euro really because the dollar's being devalued and we watched what's going on with that? And, of course, the Chinese would push for that to happen. But you really think we're going to see that in our lifetime?
Oh, I don't only think we're going to see it in our lifetime. I think if we don't see it in the next 5 years, I'll be one of the most surprised people on the planet.
Wow.
We're going to see it in the next couple of years. Trust me, when Obama is shot, and I believe he will be, and I believe he will be shot when the Pope comes to America,
oh,
we are going to see the crash of the dollar. And when we see the crash of the dollar, we will see the crash across the North American states. And the only way to resolve that is to make us all one big happy family.
To make us all big one happy family? So to become
Sure. A
global economy?
The global economy, the new world order. I don't care what you call it, but it's going to happen. And it's going to happen this September when the Pope comes to America.
Boy, I hope that's one prediction that doesn't come true, but I understand what you're saying. It's scary, especially economically, what we're seeing and what some of what's not being talked about. Thanks for the call, Dr. Cam. We're not one of the things that we, you know, we don't talk about enough, although we did talk about it on this show. We have Ivan Eland on a lot, and he was on during the show, talks about the economics of, did you see what just happened in England and what's not happening in the United States and what we're not doing? We're just, the government spending is so out of control. What are we doing? Are we spending ourselves into oblivion? And then we of course are hung up by the Chinese because we've got our debt to them, what we've got to pay back to the Chinese. So yeah, I agree in looking especially at the economics, it is frightening. And there, of course, have been calls to see that dollar dissolve. That's why we measure the dollar against other currencies, and you're absolutely right. We've seen it slip, then we've sometimes seen it bounce back up. But I don't know that I think it's going to happen in the next couple of years, and it depends on the succession of what the next president and what that Congress makeup is like, and are we going to have people economically that are paying, I think, better attention than what we've had in the last couple of years to what's going on, and you know, is it a deal where it benefits a few to have a global currency? For us right now, it's beneficial to us to not, of course, be in that direction. But this is all the repercussions of not paying attention to what's going on around us. It's as you know, she said, erasing the borders and watching that just sort of dissolve into oblivion. I absolutely concur with that. Oh, as somebody who's used other money, get used to confusion if that goes on. And think of, this is one thing Ivan Elon said, that people don't realize, but we're becoming like Greece right under our noses. And that's pretty scary if you see what's happened in Greece. Anybody comparing the United States to, ooh, we're going in that same direction, that's not a good thing, my friends. Not a good thing at all. Because it still is very chaotic there. Oh, they have, this has been a couple of years for Greece. Absolutely. All right, we're going to end on this one. You know, I am the poll princess, and it's worth throwing this out. Russia apparently gave John Kerry a sack of potatoes, for what it's worth. And we have this poll to follow up on. 59% of us view, 59% of Russians view the U.S. as a threat. So how about that? Almost 60%. So after spending all day in Sochi in talks with the president, Vladimir Putin, Secretary of State John Kerry is in Turkey filling in NATO allies about that conversation, about what, you know, happened with Putin, the substance of the talks. Kerry and Putin are trying to ease the tensions that have been full-blown now between the U.S. and Russia over the crisis in the Ukraine especially. The two countries may be seeing their worst relationship in a couple of decades. So according to a Russian polling group, the Levada Center, 59%, the number I said, of Russians see the United States as a threat. It was 47 in 2007. Wow. Something to think about. Hey, thanks for hanging with us. Remember, if you have any thoughts on the show, you can flip them to me, americatonight.net. A pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to americatonightteam.com. That's americatonightteam.com.